could we stand? We have come today for the comfort and the prayers for a very special family and friends. And we have come for the memory and the celebration of a life that touched us all. Our Father, for these 67 years that you gave Marquita to give to us, we thank you. We enjoyed her because she enjoyed you. And to that end, we'll remember and give you honor. Indeed, as Solomon saith, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Amen.
For those of you who had the pleasure of and the privilege of being with Marquita and Jerry in those last few weeks, you know that in the hospital, Jerry liked to sing to Marquita. And I recall one evening when Jerry and I sang a duet to Marquita of Day by Day and With Each Passing Moment. Let's stand together and sing that.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in the Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, give unto pain and pleasure.
You may be seated. We are here today to pay our respects to Marquita Strader and to express our love for her and her family. Marquita Strader was born in Marietta, Oklahoma on August 30th, 1931 to Gilbert V. and Ruby Parker Stevens. She passed from this life last Friday, June 19th, in Louisville, Texas, at the age of 66 years, 9 months, and 20 days. Marquita was reared in Marietta and graduated from Marietta High School in 1949. In high school, she was active in the band and drill team. She graduated from the University of Oklahoma in 1953 with a degree in secondary education. During her time at OU, she was active in the Baptist Student Union. Marquita married Jerry D. Strader in Gainesville, Texas, on November 28, 1953. Marquita and Jerry were associated with the Navigators from 1957 to 1965 in Fresno, California. The Navigators are a group that ministers to college students, servicemen, and young professionals with the objective to know Christ and make Christ known. The Straders then relocated in Nacogdoches, Texas, where Jerry taught management at Stephen F. Austin College for 3 years. They subsequently moved to Denton and were members of the First Baptist Church for 16 years. For the past 13 years, they've held various positions of responsibility here in this church, Denton Bible Church. Marquita was jointly responsible for women's activities in Denton Bible Church with Barbara McGee, women's minister at this church. She co-authored a Bible study entitled Older Women Teach Young Women, based on Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. This study is being used worldwide, including the Philippines, Russia, Kenya, and South America. Marquita is survived by her husband, Dr. Jerry Strader, of the home in Denton, one son, Greg, of Denton, and her mother, Ruby Stevens, also of Denton. Marquita was preceded in death by her father, Gilbert V. Stevens, in 1980. Being Marquita's mother's pastor, I've met Marquita several times over the last 16 years. And the more I've gotten to know her and the more I've moved around about in this area with some of her friends, the more I realize that I probably have never known anyone who has more influenced people than Marquita Strader. When you meet her, you can sense her love and her devotion to her Lord, to her husband, to her family, her mother, her son. Marquita is not with us anymore. She's at a far better place. We're here today because last Friday, Marquita moved. She moved from Denton, Texas, to her eternal home in heaven. But her ministry will continue through each and every one of you that she has touched and influenced over the years. She will be greatly missed, but God's kingdom has been greatly advanced because she was here, and it will continue to advance because of her influence through many of you. There's a word of comfort I find in Scripture for a time such as this, when we lose a dear friend, a loved one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the loving life of Marquita Strader.
And Father, we know we haven't lost her because we know where she is. She's with you. We're here today to celebrate her life. But Father, we're also here to let her family know that we love and support them during this time of bereavement. Father, I pray for Jerry, Ruby, Greg, the rest of Marquita's relatives and friends. I pray that you'd use the music, the reading and preaching of your holy word, and the prayers that are offered here today to comfort them during this difficult time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The first funeral in the Bible, or in the New Testament, was a woman. Now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. And this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it came about at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, "Do not delay to come to us." And Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside Peter, weeping, and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. Now that in the New Testament is the way that a Christian is meant to be buried. With people legitimately crying because they have sensed a loss of a life. And yet they comfort their tears with the garments that that person has made during her stay. That is how a Christian dies. That we comfort ourselves with the memory of what that person has done. It is generally agreed, I know, talking with Jerry and with all the family and all of us that knew Marquita, that really there's nothing that any one or two of us can share to encompass her life. As Tom shared, her mother's pastor here, she impacted so many people. She simply did not live. She purposed to live. She was what she was because she intended to be that person. She was not what she was by accident. And what we would like to do here for a few moments is, you'll notice that here about us, there's a microphone right there, and there's a microphone right there. And any of you who would like, we would like to give you a chance, whether you're a man or a woman or young or old, just to step to it and to share very briefly, obviously. I'll give time here, Lord willing, for maybe 10 of us. And then Mark will sing another song, lead us in one. And then I'll give us another 10 people that would like to. But if anyone would like to share just briefly what Marquita Strader meant to them, maybe it's a brief anecdote. Maybe it's something that you carry with you right now because of what she did with her life. But if you would like to, I'll give us that time too, and then Mark will lead us in a hymn. If you should get to a mic and there's someone there, just wait beside them and wait behind them, and then you can share. And I see Sharon Dumas moving to the mic right here.
Jerry, first of all, I want to thank you for telling me last night that I should write this down, because I probably wouldn't make it through if I didn't have it written down. God has greatly blessed Scott and I through our friendship with you and Marquita. 25 years ago, when we were first married, very green, you were our Sunday school teachers at First Baptist. You have been encouragers to us, and that encouragement has always been to go to God's Word for all of the answers to life's questions, thus ensuring the spiritual health that we have. Someone recently asked me how old Marquita was, and I realized I really didn't know. Giving it more thought, I decided that she was ageless. She was just over 40 when I first began to know her and be in her Sunday school class, yet her wisdom then made her seem much older. However, now 25 years later, the joy and enthusiasm that defined her life made her seem much younger than her years. Last night, I reread a letter that Marquita gave me on my 40th birthday, and I just wanted to share an excerpt from it because the eloquence and wisdom in her words parallel the scriptures that she shared too. This is what she said about being 40. She said, life really doesn't begin at 40, I think. Really does begin at 40, I think. You will increasingly walk more steadily now, not in interrupted dashes caused by the confusion, distractions, or frustrations of youth. You will more and more find the pieces of life in general and the pieces of your own life fitting and forming into a very special puzzle, custom built by God. She said these and other encouraging words, and then she ended with a scripture that she wanted me to read from the Living Bible. And as I was looking for a Living Bible last night, I realized that Marquita has really been like a living translation for me of what God wants a woman to be. And this was the verses that she asked me to read, and I think they sound just like her life as she lived it. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And now just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him, letting your roots grow down deep into him and drawing up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that God has done. To God be the glory for what he has done through Marquita.
Many wonderful experiences can be shared by all of us of how Marquita's life affected ours. I wish to share with you how she invested in mine. Marquita Strader was a woman, I feel, of two great passions. One was her devotion to her family, Jerry, Greg, and Ruby. The other was her passion for souls, especially the young Christian. She loved to nurture and mature their walk with God. It is of the latter of which I would like to share. She believed and lived out Matthew 28:19-20, which says to go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Colossians 1:28-29, we warn everyone we meet and teach everyone we can all that we know about him, so that if possible, everyone might come to his full maturity in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:2 was one of her favorites. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will teach others also. She would often say to me, Cookie, these are commands, not options. Our relationship was born out of her obedience to these commands. I was a floundering 28-year-old and had lost my parents just a year earlier. I was searching for direction, a vision for my life. And we met each other at a discipleship seminar that I had been going to. I went to it by myself, and I had gone for about a week when at the end of the seminar she came up to me and introduced herself and said, you seem like you are a woman who really wants to know God and his way. And then she brought me into her home and taught me for 5 years intensely. And then for another 15 was my mentor, my friend, tender to me like a mother. But I learned very soon that she was tender but tough. She would not bend on God's truth or principles. She would often say, Cookie, I have a little nugget of wisdom for you today that I've dug from God's word. She was always there for me as a mother. I remember one time I had my wisdom teeth taken out, and she came to be with me. And the first face I saw when I woke up with my chipmunk face was Marquita's. And she took me home and took care of me. With the Holy Spirit's grace and power, Marquita was used by God to develop in me deep convictions which I needed to get through life. But she not only helped me develop convictions, but she kindled on me the Lord's passion and vision for disciple-making, up close and personal. She has passed that torch to me and to all of us who were taught and loved by her. We will carry it faithfully with God's help. Marquita has fought her good fight. She has finished her course. She has kept the faith. She was and is an example of the Proverbs 31 woman and the Titus 2 woman. She will always be in my heart. I aspire to follow Jesus the way she did. One of Marquita's and I's favorite verses was Daniel 12:3. Those who have had insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I know Marquita is now shining brightly in heaven with our Father, the God of light and love.
Right here.
My name is Frances Martin. On the first Sunday in October of 1969, I walked into a very small Sunday school room at First Baptist Church, Denton, and met a lady God would use to change our lives. The room would only hold about 10 to 12 comfortably, but soon it was full to overflowing as word got around that God was up to something unusual in there. I had known about God for most of my 25 years, but when I heard Marquita share from her heart, I quickly knew she didn't just know about him, but she knew him personally and intimately and was committed wholeheartedly to using all the time God gave her to introduce as many as possible to her Savior, Jesus Christ. From Jerry and Marquita, and I must say both their names for they're a matched pair, I learned that when they called, I'd better be on praying ground, for she'd ask me if I were and then let me know who and what to pray for. From Marquita, I learned to claim God's promises when I didn't know he had any for me. Marquita taught me I could pray anywhere and anytime. So many times we prayed driving in the car, with our eyes open, of course. Marquita showed me how to pray with people and not just for them, for you see, she often prayed with me. She showed me how to care about ordinary people, the waitresses and restroom attendants, how to ask a question that would allow us to enter into their lives. Marquita demonstrated serving others by serving me and my family over and over and over. She taught me to use a paper towel to dry off the sinks in public restrooms so others coming behind us would have a nicer, cleaner place. Marquita wrote God's word on her heart and challenged us to do the same. She included my mother-in-law in one of her discipleship groups, and Lois experienced how a woman in her 70s could memorize scripture too. She taught me to eat raw turnips as a snack while taking long car trips to Colorado. As I've tried to explain to our current friends the part Jerry and Marquita have played in our lives, I've said she led us to Christ, and I realize how inaccurate that is. Marquita loved us to faith in a living Savior, Jesus Christ. She didn't just teach me to write down my testimony, the personal story of how God saved me, but she made me write it all down. How hard that was for me to do, but she wouldn't let go till I finished the task. It has been said that few finish well. Marquita was a finisher, and did she ever finish well? I have no doubt that at 4 a.m. last Friday morning, she heard the Lord of all her life say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness." Many women have done excellently, but you, Marquita Strader, surpassed them all. She taught me how to live well in Christ, how to love God and others well, and she taught me how to die well. She fought the good fight. She fully kept the faith. She finished the course completely. Because of her, my life verse is the one Cookie just read, Daniel 12:3. How many crowns of righteousness are laid up for her in heaven? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you allowed my family and me to be one of those crowns.
Over here.
I think Marquita and I have been friends for about 33 years when they first came back from serving as navigators. And I met her parents, and they would love and kiss and hug on Marquita. And I thought, this is wonderful. I didn't know I could do that in public to my kids. And I know where she got her loving spirit from was her mom. And then we, of course, met Jerry, Jim and Jerry hunt and fish, and we could be all day telling things they've done, the accidents they've had and things. And things that they we still laugh and are bonded with. I was looking in Marquita's Bible Friday, and she had Malachi 3:16 in there, and it said, "Those who feared and loved the Lord spoke often of him to each other." And this is what we did. It says, and he has a book of remembrance drawn up in which he records, and which he records the names of those who feared him and loved him and loved to think about him. And this is what me and Marquita and I did. We loved to think about him, and we loved his word together. And it says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And Marquita was definitely God's jewel. And I read, and it was upside down in her Bible, and it was written very lightly. I thought this must have been one of the last things maybe she wrote in her Bible. And it says, hallelujah, Jesus loves me. He was bruised for my transgressions. He is my Savior. He is holy. I will praise him. I am thine, O Lord. Hallelujah. And under it she says, love leaves behind more than death takes away. And she sent me a scripture when we were going through a time of mourning. In Psalms 116:15, in the Living Bible, it says, God's children are very precious to them, to him, and he does not lightly let them die.
I am so thankful for Marquita Strader. She taught me so many important things. I learned not only by hearing her wise and gracious words, but by seeing her life. One of the most life-changing things she taught me was the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, that there were no mistakes, and that all that happened, God allowed and purposed for his glory. I must respond to him with trust, thankfulness, and obedience. Forever etched in my memory are snapshots of Marquita. I see her serving others, letting people in her life, in her home, at all times, submitting joyfully to God in the midst of great suffering. I see her reading good books and passing along helpful and timely quotes, memorizing scripture, enthusiastically sharing a new insight from her quiet time. I see her washing clothes, always making Jerry's shirts look so nice, preparing delicious food, and always looking like a lady. I am but one woman of the countless that Marquita discipled. But my prayer is that I would live in such a way as to honor her life and ministry.
Richard.
Yeah, thank you, Tommy. My name is Richard Hayburn, and my wife Debbie and I have known Jerry and Marquita for about 15 or 16 years. We went through the Colossians 2:7 Bible study together with Jerry and Marquita, probably the longest in history. It was only supposed to last about a year and a half, but we went over 3 years. And I'm not sure why that was. I guess we just loved them so much we couldn't get away from them. But Jerry and I have co-labored together on many occasions in a variety of ministries, and Jerry certainly has been a trusted friend, mentor, inspiration, and encouragement to me, and a source of great wisdom for a young man. And of course, Marquita has been such a wonderful blessing to Debbie and I and our children and our family for many, many years. One of my fondest memories of Marquita was when we were going through the Colossians 2:7 series. For those of you that haven't done it, the last thing you have to do is you have to memorize 65 verses, and you have to recite them all to your instructor, and it happened to be Marquita, and I'll never forget it. It was right over here in the old sanctuary, right by that big tree. And Marquita said, I'll meet you, Richard, at 10 o'clock. And so I met her, had two little stools there. And of course, I thought I had them down. I'd been working on them a long time. And so Marquita sits down there right in front of me, and she says, Richard, okay, let's go. Let's hear them, all 65. And I'll tell you, as tender-hearted and gentle and kind as she was when it came to your verses, she was a Marine Corps drill instructor. I'm telling you, I thought, you know, well, Marquita, surely she'll give me a little slack. No slack. I mean, word for word. And I said, and I'd go along there, and I thought I had them. And she said, Richard, that's not quite right. And I'd say, well, can I try again? She said, yeah, I'll let you try one more time. So one of my fondest memories of her was doing my 65 verses right over there in front of that big tree. She was very serious when it came to the Word of God, and she wanted it done right, and that's the way it should be. Just a few thoughts. There was nothing ordinary about Marquita, or maybe ordinary like other people, in looks and physical stature, lifestyle, daily routines. But spiritually, Marquita was not ordinary. She was absolutely extraordinary. She was a godly woman, faithful. She made herself so available to all of us at any time. Her willingness to live a life of transparency and vulnerability made the message of Christ come through very loud and clear to all of us. She not only demonstrated but taught Debbie and I that discipleship was the key to the ministry for Jesus Christ. For teaching and training us in these principles and encouraging us in the process of duplication, we certainly stand in her debt. She was a woman with such a gracious spirit, gentle, and demonstrated in her life a reflection of God's unconditional love, His grace, His forgiveness, and His long-suffering. Most of all, I believe the Christian life comes down to two simple things: trust and obedience. What does that mean exactly? We could talk about it forever. Tommy could preach on it, and he has many times. We could do seminars on it. But I think when you talk about trust and obedience, you have to look at the life of Marquita Strader. Here's a woman who lived it. Let's look at her life, a life of trusting, a life of obeying, day by day. Marquita and I, we shared, as I have with many of y'all, know I collect a lot of quotes and poems and things, and I share them. And Marquita and I shared a number of them. And I'd like to share just a couple of those. This is one she gave to me, and I carry it with my Bible, and I'll share one that I shared with her that she so loved. This one's called Peace, Sweet Peace. My soul, there is a country far beyond the stars, where stands a winged sentry, all skillful in the wars. There above noise and danger, sweet peace sits crowned with smiles. And one born in a manger commands the beauteous files. He is my gracious friend, and oh, my soul awake, did in pure love descend to die here for my sake. If thou canst get but thither, there grows the flower of peace, the rose that cannot wither, thy fortress and thy ease. Leave then thy foolish ranges, for none thee can secure, but one who never changes, thy God, thy life, thy cure. And that's one I keep with me. One I shared with her that she so enjoyed. I don't know if you know this author. His name is Bob Benson. It's so wonderful. He said, I used to think loving life so greatly that to die would be like leaving the party before the end. But now I know that the party is really happening somewhere else. That the light and the music escaping in snatches to make the pulse beat faster and the tempo quicken comes from another place. And I know, too, that when I get there, the music and the love and the praise will belong to Him, and the music will never end. We loved Marquita. I certainly did, and will miss her. We so enjoyed the parties we were privileged to share with her, but now she knows that the real party is happening somewhere else.
Today I'm reminded of what the writer of Hebrews penned in the 10th chapter when he said, in response to all that Christ has done for us, let us live to outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as the day approaches. I first met Marquita about 13 years ago. She took me under her arm, and I was relatively a new mother and a new wife, and for the next 4 or 5 years spent 2 to 3 afternoons or evening with her. She took me through many Bible studies, pulled me through many, some twice, because I just wasn't getting it. I had to memorize Proverbs 31 in the Amplified version, and that took up about 12 index cards. And when she was done with me, and a few years later, she took my daughter, Haley, when she's about 8 years old, and began to spend time with her. And thinking today that nearly half of Haley's life was spent with Marquita, I'm sure will forever be a joy to her spiritual life. There are two things that stand out to me in the life of Mama Strader, because that's what she let us call her so lovingly. The one is the phrase that I must have heard her say 1,000 times is, isn't the Lord good? This was a preface to many of the things that she taught me. Isn't the Lord good? That He knows we don't understand His word, but He promises to give us understanding if only we will search for Him. Isn't the Lord good? He knows you don't feel good on the inside of your body, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and He knows what's going on even though
someone else can't find out. Isn't the Lord good? He doesn't know. He knows you don't get along with those people very good. But he knows that if you'll just take a time and be patient, you'll be able to see them like he does. And you'll be glad that you met someone else that God created as well. Isn't the Lord good? He knows that you're having a hard time financially right now, but he has promised to provide for our every need every day. Isn't the Lord good? He knows you're busy with all the responsibilities that are pulling from you from every time, but he has promised to give you strength for every day. And that's the second thing that I so appreciate about Marquita, is that she only walked with the Lord. It sounds so simple, but day to day. You would make plans with her, and then she would always end it by, well, we'll see what the Lord has for us that day. And sure enough, something would come up. She really let the Lord plan her days as they came. And it's no wonder to me that, as she told me, her favorite hymn was Day by Day, which I would like to read to you now, even though we sang it. Sometimes when you sing a song, you miss out on the words. I'd like to read it to you now. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares, he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take, as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reached the promised land. To Mama Strader, I want to say goodbye, and isn't the Lord good?
Connie?
The morning that I got a phone call saying that Marquita had gone to be with the Lord, I had a very busy day planned that day, and one thing was to spend time with a young college girl that I've been taught by Marquita how to spend time with young girls and just treasure this. And as I spoke with Jerry and realized that there were things that he needed that day and I wanted to do things for him, for Marquita's sake, I can't tell you how the Lord blessed my day and multiplied my time that I was able to meet with this girl, meet with Jerry and Marquita's precious mom, Ruby, and spend some time with her and get all the other things done that day that I needed to do, and ending it off, getting to spend a little bit of time alone with Marquita. One of the most precious things that she has taught me, besides taking someone else under your wing and trying to spend time with them and teach them from God's word, is how to spend time being a wife. And she taught me to always think of and call my husband, sweetheart. And someone asked me how I first met Marquita, and I couldn't really remember. I could just remember knowing that I noticed Jerry because he was a little bit loud. And this was when we were over in the other sanctuary. And as I got to meet Marquita, I thought, how quiet and gentle and ladylike she is. But she had much to say. And she definitely complimented and balanced out Jerry. And Marquita always called Jerry sweetheart, spoke to him with love in her eyes. And she didn't write it down on a paper and exhort me to call Mario sweetheart. She lived that for me. And I see what a difference that makes in a marriage, that years from now, I want Mario to be my sweetheart and lover and friend, not just a roommate. And she has definitely modeled for me what a wonderful marriage is.
Thank you. Anyone? Over here.
God blessed me very richly when I walked into Marquita's crowded Sunday school room many years ago, almost 30 years ago. I was disillusioned with church at that time, but she taught me that with Jesus as my personal Savior, I had access to the riches of Almighty God's unlimited kingdom, and that the answers to everything were in the Bible. When they tried to promote me to another department because of my age, a few weeks later, I refused to go. It was like asking a man who's dying of thirst to walk away from the first source of water he's seen. She taught with both love and authority, the authority of God's Word. She was, without a doubt, the most godly woman I have ever known. She influenced my life and the life of my family like no one else here on earth. In later years, whenever a problem arose for me, my daughter would always say, "Mom, you need to talk to Marquita." I thank God that He has allowed me to be with her during these incredibly difficult months preceding her death. One day in the hospital, when they took the tubes out and she could finally talk, she told me that her greatest fear was of doing or saying something that would bring discredit to her Lord. I couldn't even imagine that happening. And watching her thanking nurses and therapists for all the painful things they had to do to her, I can truly say she met that goal. Many years ago, when we discovered that our busy schedules always seemed to keep us from spending time together, one day she said, "I have an idea. Here on earth, we're never likely to have the time to really fellowship, but when we get to heaven, we won't have that time problem. So let's make a date right now. When we both get to heaven, we're going to have time to share and catch up on everything." And I agreed. She's already there, and when I join her there, then with God's help and blessing, I just know that my dear, sweet, responsible, loving friend Marquita will keep that appointment we made years ago.
One more.
My name is Wayne Stiles, and Kathy's my wife. She wrote some words this morning that she asked me to read. "Marquita changed my life by the way she lived hers. I met her 12 years ago when I came to Denton to attend TWU. She became my mentor, my friend, and my mom. God blessed me by the way she lived her life. She lived out the truth, showing there are three things eternal in which to invest: people, the Word of God, and love. She modeled love, true love, so beautifully. I could call her for anything. I think that's what I'll miss most, being able to hear her voice in her wisdom. When we were together for the first time, I was surprised to pray while we would drive. But now it seems wrong not to pray while I'm driving. We would jump in the car and begin praying. For our time together, praying that God would bless our time and energy, that Jerry and Greg and Wayne would be excellent in attitude and work, and that they would love righteousness and hate unrighteousness, and that we would influence others for good. She would say that an idle mind is Satan's workshop, and that Satan wants us to believe that we're missing out on something. Marquita and I had fun together. I'm reminded of the time we shopped together for my wedding dress. Because we were the same size, she would try them on, and I would decide if it looked good. I enjoyed the times we went to Marietta, to her home place. She was from Love County. Once she and I put on her dad's overalls and worked together. We got such a kick out of how we looked that we took pictures. When we were together, we'd try to memorize scripture. She often shared 1 Corinthians 13, which she so well mastered in her life. To her, relating all of life to God is the secret of successful living. We loved each other dearly. She and Miss Ruby were grandmother and great-grandmother to my daughters. When I loved being asked if I were her daughter. We would both answer with a big smile, "Yes." When I'm questioning a situation in my life, I ask, "What would Marquita do?" Answers come easily to mind because she lived out and reflected so well the character of Christ. I am pleased to be called a spiritual daughter and friend. What a blessing my God has given me, has blessed me with. She would always say to me as we said goodbye, stay as sweet as you are. Goodbye for now. God bless you and keep you.
Let's stand together and sing. Great is thy faithfulness.
Before Mark shares a solo with us, is there anyone else that the family has asked to share or otherwise it would like to share a bit? Bob.
My name is Bob Martin. My wife, Fran, spoke earlier. Over 30 years ago, we were in a Bible study with Marquita Strader and Jerry on Friday evening in their home, and a verse that came to mind as I was praying about what to use to share this is 1 Corinthians 13:7. Which says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. At this particular time in my life, there were many things which needed to be bared, believed, hoped, and endured. some of the other folks in the study were not as gracious in as Marquita in bearing, hoping, enduring, and in believing in me as she was. In fact, one of them went to her and said, don't you think it would probably be better if we just asked Bob to leave the study? And Marquita said, do you believe God answers prayer? Well, yes, they thought that God answered prayer. She said, well, do you believe that God can change lives? Well, yes, probably God could change lives. Well, let's just pray that he'll change Bob's life then. And I don't know if he did, but she did. And God did, and I'm eternally grateful.
Ethel?
Thank you. Marquita always had a plan. And every fall and every spring, she would say, what is your plan? Who do you plan to invest your life in this year? And then she would tell us what Jerry's plan and Marquita's plan was for the Lord. And they always had couples that they were investing in. They always had women that they were investing in. So I'm eternally grateful to Marquita for sharing always with us that we needed to have a plan. Because if we don't have a plan, then we do have a plan, and our plan is to do nothing. And that's what she would tell us. If you don't have a positive plan, you have a negative plan, so make a positive plan. She encouraged each of us to make a plan and to use it wisely for the Lord. And she was faithful to co-author with Barbara the Titus II study. And I want to thank Jerry for letting her use that time to co-author that study, because she was faithful to the work that God gave her to do. And because of doing that, there are people in many countries in the world who can testify to changed lives, women who have a purpose and know what their purpose is because of Marquita being faithful to do the work that she was meant to do here with Barbara. They would want me to tell you, Jerry, thank you for encouraging her to do that work, and thank you for letting her be faithful to do that work, and that their purpose in life is to live according to Titus 2, 3 through 5. And so if you don't have a plan this year for who to invest your life in, I encourage you to make a plan. And I will make a plan, and we will continue on in the way that Marquita would have us to do, to invest in the lives of other women and other men. And if there is any one of you here that doesn't know the Lord, if that could possibly be a possibility today, I would encourage you to search the Scriptures and find out that Jesus Christ is your Savior. He has a plan for your life. As you can hear the testimony of Marquita's life, that you want that plan to be for your life too, and you want to spend it in eternity with Jesus Christ. Thank you.
People in the San Joaquin Valley and all over California you invested your lives in. I want to just thank God. My wife, my first wife, Carolyn, was one of those, and lived for 2 years in Jerry and Marquita's home. And as I fell in love with Carolyn, Jerry gave Carolyn away to me, walked her down the aisle because her folks were divorced, and Marquita was Carolyn's maid of honor. And they really became our mom and dad. And some of the most fun times I can remember were those first couple of years of our married life in California. And we'd go over to Jerry Marquita's and Greg's in Fresno. We'd sleep on sleeping mats on the floor, and Greg early in the morning would crawl around and wake us up. And I won't tell any embarrassing stories, Greg, but the fun times, the laughter, the joy, the crazy things that we did together, the fun. And Jerry, the wonderful years of married life with Carolyn were because she modeled what she saw and learned from Marquita. And she quoted Marquita an awful lot those first years, and about as much as the Bible. But Marquita taught her how to love, how to be a wonderful wife. My wife preceded Marquita to heaven, August 1996. I don't think I've told you this, Jerry. Two nights before Carolyn died, Jerry and Marquita phoned. And they just quoted scripture, shared all they were praying for Carolyn and me and our girls. And the next morning, I when Carolyn awoke, she had really lost her ability to speak as the cancer had spread to her brain. And I said to Jerry, Marquita called last night, share a little of what they had shared in the prayers. And Carolyn was trying to speak, and words, unintelligible words, were coming out of her mouth. And then she said, love. And I know she was trying to say, tell Jerry and Marquita, I love them. I thought, how fitting that my sweetheart, the last word she would utter would be for Jerry and Marquita. The love that she and we had experienced from a lifetime of love from Jerry and Marquita. Thank you.
I remember about 28 years ago at First Baptist, Jay Adams was giving a seminar, and he said something about there ought to be some older women teaching the younger women how to be mothers and wives. And I just marched right up to him and I said, well, that's going on right here. We have that going on right here in our church. And Marquita was there, and he said, well, I want that study. I want to know all about this. And that was before Titus ever became in the form that it is now. But we knew at that point, back in First Baptist, that Marquita was living it. And then I think Tom had her write it up, she and Barbara, and it became the thing that it is now. But back then, Bob was in, we were in that Bible study with Bob. Every person in that Bible study, their lives were changed, and a lot of ministries resulted out of that 29 years ago. And I've got Joe standing up here with me. He's letting me do the talking. But Martis would not have developed unless Joe and I had been in that Bible study and rearranged our lives. I was going to share that the three things that she shared has already been shared. God's Word, love, and people, because their spirits are either going to go to heaven or hell. And I think that has been what each that Marquita and Jerry have invested in has put as priority. And I really think it's changed then.
Well, my name is Joe Davis. And at some time in the last few years, I've had the privilege of meeting every one of you, because you have been in my place of business for some kind of ministry. And I would have to tell you that it's because of Jerry and Marquita Strader, the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our life, my wife and I and our family, that we are in that place today. Marquita, up until just a few months ago, she and Ruby would come into our store, and as always, Marquita had a good word for everybody. I never saw Marquita at a time when she did not have a word, a good word, for everybody. But Marquita liked poetry, and Marquita wasn't always giving it out. She was a collector of it. She was a collector of wisdom. And I remember many, many years ago, as a young lad, I learned a poem, and many times I recited this poem to Marquita. So, Jerry, with your permission and in her honor, I would like to recite a poem that means nothing whatsoever to most of us in this place. But to me, it influenced my life greatly. And for some reason, God used it in my relationship with Marquita Strader. But the poem went like this. I walked the streets of a busy town, and I saw men tearing a building down. With a heave-ho and a wild yell, they swung a weight and a wall fell. So I asked the foreman, are these men skilled as those you'd hire if you wanted to build? No, sir. No, indeed. Common labor's all I need, because I can tear down in a day or two what it takes skilled men a year to do. And so I thought as I walked around that town, am I building up or tearing down? And I think because of what Marquita has meant to every one of us in this room, what Jerry Strader means to us today. It is God's perfect will in our life to be building up His kingdom in this place. Amen.
I got to know Jerry through this church, and as somebody mentioned a while ago, he was kind of a little bit loud, and praise God that I got to know him, because through him I got to know his wife, and I got to sit at Jerry's feet for a year in a Bible study, and I got to know Marquita, because a lot of times when I arrived at the house, she would answer the door, and she would say, "Get in this house. Come on in here. Get out of the weather." And I'd come in, and we'd talk for a while he finished up with whoever he was studying with at the time. And one of the last things that she would say to me as I went to go in to do my Bible study was, "Make sure you give your wife a hug and a kiss when you get home." And I would do that. And praise God that, you know, Marquita was such a sweet woman. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Tom. Janice?
Like so many women who've already shared, Marquita has deeply touched my life as well. And she taught me to live as a wife and a mother. But there was something special that she shared with me, and that was to live in the face of possibly an early death. I met her when I was diagnosed with a potentially fatal illness, and she was, as she has done with every one of you, she pointed me right to the Word. And I can say with all assurance that she lived this out, and she not only lived by faith, but she died by faith. In her last days, she continued to quote the scripture with me. Sometimes we abbreviated it to simply, "Though the fig tree does not bud, we will rejoice in the Lord." But the scripture, if you don't know it, is from Habakkuk 3. The prophet is overwhelmed with the thought of the calamity that arises, and yet he says, as he has already told us, that the righteous do live by faith and that they can live with great joy and great perseverance. And so he begins, "Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, though the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord." And she taught me to memorize the Amplified Version. "I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation, for He is my bravery, He is my strength, He is my invincible army, and He will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of suffering and of trouble and of responsibility." Those words have empowered me to live for Christ in these last 10 years and to do it with great joy and great perseverance. And as I said, I witnessed Marquita live that out to the very end. And I praise God for her and for her willingness to share that with me.
I just wanted to say, my name is Ben Averett. I just want to say thanks to Jerry. We've all benefited from the ministry that God gave both he and Marquita. And I just wanted to say a little song that Jerry and Marquita would always sing to us in the 2-7. We didn't quite go 3 years. I think we were 2.5. But it went something like this. They would sing, "A penny a kiss, a penny a hug. We're going to put our pennies in a big brown jug. A penny a kiss, a penny a hug. Oh, how rich we're going to be." I just want to say to you, Jerry, thank you for the life that you and Marquita live together, for we are all indeed the richer for it.
Two more.
Jerry and Marquita,
delicious fruit speaks to a most excellent vine and a most glorious vine dresser.
Well, the memory of the righteous is blessed, and certainly Marquita Strader was a righteous woman and is still today. And were it not for Jerry and Marquita, my good buddies of my parents, well, I guess the Robertsons wouldn't have ever moved to Denton, but we did. And certainly very thankful for the Straders for supplying Shackley and being so generous and hospitable in their home. And Marquita kept the home very pretty from the... Didn't go over there too much, but I remember that and Marquita's hospitality. So I also would like to thank Jerry and the memory of Marquita.
Thank you, Lenny.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect and rest hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand. Never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of the spirit there, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. They who trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust holy, find him holy true.
Before I share and end our time here, Greg Strader, Marquita's son, would like to share just a brief word with us.
If I make it through this without crying, it'll be a miracle, but I love my mother very much. But in 1981, I did something that was kind of a hard for my mother and my father. I joined the United States Marine Corps, and I'm sure that that was very tough for my mother, that because not only did I want to be a Marine, I wanted to be an infantry Marine and Special Forces Marine, and that meant that I could go to combat anytime. But during boot camp, I learned a lot of things, and one of them was that we honor and we fight for God, country, and family. And on the Marine Corps flag, there's the eagle, the globe, and the anchor. And on that flag, there's these words, two words that say Semper Fidelis. And Marines, we shorten it to Semper Fi, but it's a Latin word meaning always faithful. And my mother, she loved her God and served Him well. So in that, she was a warrior. She served Him from the beginning to the end. And she cared and loved Him like so many people have said today. It was awesome. But she was a warrior. She prayed. And to put up with me and all the things that I did in my lifetime, it took everything out of her. Because I would run rampant. And if it wasn't for my mother, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. Then she, for her country. And that's kind of a hard thing because you go, what did she do for her country? Well, she touched many lives. And so many lives in Denton. And so many lives around the world. But in the 1950s, during the Korea and the Suez crisis, and in Vietnam crisis, my father was old enough or in that time of age to be he was in the military. And I'm sure that was tough on her, not knowing that he could go anytime. And then in the 80s, during the time of Iraq and Iran crisis and Bloody Sundays for the Marines and because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go fight. And she knew this, and she supported me behind it. But I'm sure that in her life, that it was hard for her. And then for her family, the love, the devotion as a wife to her husband, to me as a mother, and to all her friends, to her mother, Ruby Stevens, that she cared and touched and supported and loved no matter what we did. So there, she deserves more than the words. She deserves to be a Marine, just like I was. Because she fought every day. And I'm just going to share a really funny story with you. A man named Gene War gave Dad and I a dog one time. And this dog was a runt. And because Dad and I loved to hunt, spent lots of time hunting with my dad and my uncle over Christmas holidays, and we quail hunted all in Joe Henry, there was another guy, and we hunted all over the country, things like all of us, Texas. But this guy named Gene War came up to me and my dad one time, and I was in grade school, and said, pick a dog. And this is a bird dog. And so we picked this dog and took him home, and I named it Joe. And this dog it was a runt, but as it grew up, most pointer bird dogs weigh about 70 pounds. He weighed 90. He could crawl up a chain link fence. And so Dad said, I'll fix that dog. He put a logging chain, about a 6-foot logging chain on this dog, and he would drag that thing around the yard. So he became bigger and meaner. And my friends would go, Greg, what are you doing to this dog? You putting on steroids? I don't know. And he'd run for hours and hours and hours. And between my uncle and my dad, I think they shot at him 2 or 3 times and trying to make him stop. But one instance, this dog had climbed over the fence with the chain, and I had 2 pet rabbits somebody had given me. Well, he got the first rabbit, and he was headed for the second one. And my mother decided she would stop this freight train with a chain on it. And I looked up, and she had the dog that was standing on top of her with her legs and her arms pinned. And he was literally dragging her after the rabbit. So now I get a hold of this dog, not much weighing much more than he did. And we're fighting out there in the front yard while Dad's sitting in the car filling out paperwork or whatever he did, you know. And My mother and I, she was yelling. I'm trying to get the dog off, and he was going for the rabbit. And she's yelling and screaming at my dad, get this dog off me. And what was really funny is I thought right there, if I've seen any time my mother was going to divorce my father, was right there. So, you know, it was an interesting life amongst us. But what I was going to do today, to end with that, is this the Marine Corps flag. And I'm going to present it to my mother. Because on this flag, it has the eagle, the globe, and the anchor. But it has Semper Fidelis. And she deserves this much more than I ever did. Because she fought and loved and cared for her country, her friends, and her God. And she loved each and every one of you just as much as she loved me and my dad. She accepted me and my friends and anybody else that walked in the door. But she deserves this today. So today I present this with love and care.
Marquita she sat over here. Sometimes she'd come in late. It was back there. And she would take notes. And she had read everything that I would teach. She'd read books on the paragraphs I had taught. Had memorized a bunch of them. But she would take notes like a kid. Like she had never seen the text before. She was, in a true sense, pious. What Greg shares is so good. Piety is a French word that means duty. And that's what a pietist is. They seek the will of God. What Joe Davis shared was so right. In all the times I knew her, I never heard an unkind word, ever. And had some conversations with her about some very unkind people. But she never, ever shared an unkind word. She was, in a real sense, filled with the Holy Spirit. Not in a fleecy, emotional way, but she was someone who knew the will of God through disciplined study. And she said no to her flesh, and she said yes to God. And she apologized quickly when she did not. And she really was in evidence of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. If I had never believed in the inerrancy of the Bible, I would have changed. Because of her. She was a guy's kind of girl. You got to know what that means. A lot of women shared here because she invested her lives in women. But she was a guy's kind of girl. Guys liked Marquita. And it wasn't because she was a tomboy, or it wasn't because she was tough or whatever, because she wasn't. It was because Marquita was willful in a good sense. Marquita was what she was because she deliberately intended to be that. She knew her Bible. She disciplined herself and studied it. She invested her lives in women. And it wasn't by accident. It wasn't because people begged her to do so, though they did. She did it because it was the will of God. And she said yes. And she was faithful. She never complained. She was stricken with cancer at 32. You know that? She had Hodgkin's. They gave her 6 months. She went through cobalt surgery. She went through radiation, chemo. Chemotherapy that in the treatment of that time ate away her hip joints. And she went through a great portion of her life without being able to stand or sit or move without pain. And never said a word. She would trust God. I went to see her up at Flo in rehab. And I remember her asking Janice Seville if she would bring a scripture. And at the end of her life, in the book, our church will never totally recover from her death. I pastor sheep as a ministry, but much of pastoring is commanding troops, and we lost a good one. And I won't miss her. Would you stand with me? Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there be no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls. In other words, if we die, I will rejoice in Jehovah and be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and enables me to go on the heights. To you, O God, who saved this girl and developed her into this woman, we thank you. To you, O Lord Jesus, that indwelt her by your word, we thank you. To you, O Holy Spirit of God, who led her and brought to her the virtues of Jesus. And as a result, we were better. We enjoyed her as she enjoyed you. Might she know, well done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.